It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13. We're going to begin reading with that chapter, and we're going to read the full chapter, verse 1 through verse 14. And so please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13 and follow along with me if you can. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, it would parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. And now I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're beginning with Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law, and that, knowing the time, and that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after reading this chapter. Father, I just ask that you would guide and lead us through this study. Please, that we would know your will and know your way, and be born again if we're lost, that salvation can come into the hearts of the lost, that they recognize and realize that Jesus died on the cross, perfect sacrifice, died on the cross to save every soul. We know, Father, that not every person, man, woman, or child, not everyone believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not believe in your Son. They don't think they need salvation, but Father, they do. And it only can be gained, not through any means of works, as many teach, but only by grace, only by believing in your Son, the Lord Jesus, that He died for their sins, knowing they're a sinner, believing that, and trusting that salvation can be theirs through the Lord Jesus. So please, Father, that those that are lost will be saved today. And those that are saved will learn, as we always do through your word, how to live and how to be, and just guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Higher powers. We're talking about government here. And when we realize and recognize, as the next verses of Scripture tell us very clearly, and this one as well, for there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. God has put into place government. Now, we know that government is so corrupt, it's just so hard to imagine. But God has put into place that regulations and rules, the to keep evil out and good in. He has given and placed and blessed government to do that. Now, we know that when we have corrupt people in government, corrupt people sometimes even in the police force and things like that, that things don't go correctly. But we're going to look up many verses of Scripture today, and so please that you just listen carefully, that we are to listen and follow unless it is contrary to the will of God. God is our superior authority, His precious word. And if there's something the government does that is contrary to the Word of God, then the Word of God is the authority. But we also have to follow after, unless it is against the will of God, the Word of God. So please, that as we follow through this now and go through these Scripture verses, understand that. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. And that's talking about government. Okay, let's look up Matthew chapter 22, verse 17. This may be a verse of Scripture that's familiar to you. I flip these pages of my Bible, and I find these verses of Scripture, so I hope that you, too, have time to do the same. Matthew chapter 22, beginning to read with the 17th verse. And we will read continually reading beyond that. Verse 17, tell us therefore, this they was trying to trick the Lord Jesus, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? See, knew that they didn't care about this question. They were just trying to trick him. And verse 19, show me the tribute money. In other words, show me some money that Rome has from Caesar. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is the image and subscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he to them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They didn't know what to say after that. They knew that they had him there because, you know, well, we're not going to pay Caesar, the wicked, wicked Caesar. We're not going to pay him. The Lord Jesus said, look on the coin. What is on that coin? Well, Caesar's name was on that coin. He said, then render to Caesar what's Caesar's. So we need to pay our taxes. We need to do things like that. Now, let's understand here. And we're going to take our time and look at these wonderful Scripture verses today. And I hope that you, and, you know, I always learn as we study the Word of God here. So, we learn that let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2, whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation. We are not, nor is it taught, to do something morally wrong, even if the government says so. Understand that. I made that statement earlier. Whatever the Word of God says, that is our final authority. So if the government tells us, and as we have a government today that agrees with many things contrary to the Word of God, we are to abide by the Word of God. We are to follow that. The authority that God has given government should be led by His will and way. We are not to have one religion. We are not to be forced to all be a certain religion, no. But we are to follow the Word of God. That's not a religion. When you follow the Word of God, you are following a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone is commanded and needs to you go to a given church. The government is not ruled by a church, but it is ruled by God and His precious Word. Not by a religion, but by the superior being, God, Jehovah God. So to begin with here, as I said, if there's something contrary, and one of those immediately you can see and think of, and that is the law that allows an abortion. That's murder. We should never do that. Just because the law permits that, we should never do that. It is murder. Quit calling it a fetus and call it a baby. From conception on, it is a living being, a baby. And if you follow the what is allowed by the law, you're a murderer. If you're doing it yourself, if you're performing that operation of any part of it, you're a murderer. If you are agreeing as a mother to it, you're a murderer. Please understand that. Let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts 5, 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. It says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" Yes, that's the authority, the Word of God. Civil government has its source, its power in Almighty God. And civil power and authority are appointed and ordained by Almighty God. Human government is a permanent institution brought into being by God for the regulations of human affairs. Okay? God has set forth the law. As we look at this second verse, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resisteth shall receive unto themselves damnation," or judgment. If we break the laws, the laws of the law, we will be judged. Understand that. Pilate asked the question, and Jesus answered here in John 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 19. Again, I hope you have the opportunity to look these scripture verses up. John 19, verses 10 and 11. And Pilate, "Then saith Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me?'" You see, Jesus was silent when Pilate kept asking questions. "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" You see, Pilate was the government. He was the one in authority here. But look at what Jesus answers. "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And of course, we know the Jews delivered the Lord Jesus to Pilate. But we understand why, and the reason is God's plan that Jesus would be crucified and die for our sins. Praise the Lord that he has died to take my sin away. I hope that you have trusted in him and believe in the Lord Jesus. Let's go back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. And he changeth, let's go up to verse 20 here first. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." On now to chapter 4, verse 17. "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up whosoever it is basest of man." Verse 34 and 35. "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose domain is an everlasting domain, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" That was a wicked king. That was Nebuchadnezzar. You see, there was something happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and let's just kind of read up here a little bit so you understand the thought and the opinion and the pride that Nebuchadnezzar had. "All this came unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, and at the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the fields, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will. And that same hour was the thing fulfilled unto Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honor him." Now, the sad thing is, he acknowledged that there was a God. God ruled. God took care of Nebuchadnezzar with all his arrogant pride. We wonder sometimes with today why God doesn't do the same thing with some of the wicked rulers. Because there is so many that acknowledge themselves as pride and arrogant, and they do not acknowledge or praise God God put Nebuchadnezzar into his place. He did exactly what he said he was going to do, and then he returned him. And when he returned, why, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High. Sad thing is, Nebuchadnezzar didn't get saved. He recognized who was in authority, but he did not get saved. And that's a very sad thing, that he did not accept the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Now, to read these verses of Scripture, I hope helps you to understand that God is in control. When a nation has an ungodly leader, and believers call on God in fervent prayer, God will remove that leader. Now, you wonder then, why are we in such a mess today in this country? Well, the reason is because the children of God, what few there are true believers, many are disobedient. And God leaves ungodly leaders in place to have us be awakened and to call upon him and ask him to forgive us of our sin and restore unto us a land and a government that is pleasing unto God. But many times believers, even believers, and there are few, there are many churchgoers. But as Nebuchadnezzar that called and made these words, this statement, "Oh, blessed be the Most High, I praise and honor him." That's because he recognized who was in power and authority. You may do the same from time to time and call upon God, but do you believe that he is your Savior? Call upon him today for salvation, because what's happening today, the church is a mess, and God is chastising the church today because of the condition that we're in. That's the reason we have such ungodly leaders today. That's the reason we have folks and leadership that believe in the same-sex marriage and abortion and so many wicked things. That's the reason we have a leader today that's turned his back on Israel. It's because there are so few believers that have stood for the truth and proclaimed the truth and have turned back to God. We need to do that. And when we do, God will turn these wicked leaders out to pasture just like he did Nebuchadnezzar. But until then, and I'm not sure the time will come, I'm not sure that God's not going to call his church home. And if he calls his church home, the believers home, then the tribulation will begin. And during that tribulation, there's going to be 7 years. Seems like peace. The Antichrist will come and will lead and will seem to bring peace to everyone, whether it's our land or Syria and Russia and China and everybody's going to bring everybody together. And Israel, boy, they're going to be so pleased. They're going to start building the temple again. And everything is going to seem to be just right until, like Nebuchadnezzar here, Nebuchadnezzar moved in and says, you know, "I'm God. Look at what I have done." Well, the Antichrist is going to do the same thing. He's going to set himself down in the Holy of Holies. The abomination of desolation is what that's called. And that is when literally all hell's going to break loose here upon earth. I'm not going to be here. Any believer that's saved, born again, is going to be raptured prior to the beginning of this tribulation period. But it's coming, and it's coming very soon. Everything is in place for it to happen. Be looking. If you're a believer in Jesus, be looking for his return. We may not see a turning back, because there's such a small remnant of true believers. There's a lot of people that are acting godly and acting righteous and sitting in these churches, but they're not saved. They're not born again. So please, understand why that sometimes God allows wicked rulers to stay into place. As we continue to look down through these verses of Scripture here, we see that not only does it deal with man and with government, but it gets a little more specific. It gets a hold of those that are in authority. And so as I turn back to Romans chapter 13 and we read verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." You know, police protect the good. Yes, men are men, and there's some police that aren't maybe doing what they to be doing, but we have government is in place to protect those that are good, and they are to arrest the evil, the terror to the evil, the Scripture says there. Rulers are not a terror to good. No, they're a terror to evil. And so much of the mess that's going on today with our law enforcement, they do such a good job, and they have been criticized and condemned. Many have been brutally shot and for no reason. It's because the people are ungodly. And they don't like good. They like evil. But God has put into place government, and the government has appointed officers to protect us. And as they protect us, as they keep and protect the good, they at the same time will go after the evil. And so as this third verse continues, "Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? For do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." So if you're having problems with the police, I would sooner say that it's your problem, not the police's. You act good. You do what's right. You're not going to have a problem with them. You do something that's against the law, they're going to come and talk to you. And when they come and talk to you, you best listen, because you've broken a law. Now, there's ways, God has set it up, government, to have good laws. Now, we have some wicked, evil laws, some that are against the Word of God. And those, as I have said, we are not to abide by those laws that man has made that is against the Word of God. But most laws are not against the Word of God. And those that are in trouble because they are not following the law. God has put government into place. Government has put those in authority to protect us and to keep evil away. And so as we look at verse 4, "For he is the minister to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, the revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." God has put that into place. God has put that into place. There is no fear of the ruler when you do good. Here, the word rulers is different, because as we look at this scripture verse here, we see that here in verse 4, it means ministers or servant. All law enforcement is under the authority of God. If a law officer misuses the power given him by God, his judgment will be very great. And we're going to look up Luke 12:48 next time we're together. And so when we look at this, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good." See, God has ordained this to be in place. Now, again, there are many wicked people that misuse that, but there are many, many that do not. And the reason that you may be tangling with them is because you're on the wrong side. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?